me off guard. I almost did what Chris did, but I thought, no, not yet. Because David says now, he said, you get your mic turned on, and when you get up there, you'll be live. I'm live whether I have this thing on or not. Well, good morning, church. It's so good to be back with you again today. Again, I appreciate the opportunity that you have afforded Kevin and I to be with you. And you're making this transition time a great interim pastor over these last several months, Brother Nolan, and then the call of a new pastor, Brother Daniel. You're going to be in good hands with this new pastor leadership. We're so happy for you, and we hope to be able to get back and hear Brother Daniel. I was at Brother Daniel's ordination when he was ordained and was able to get over to Stuart Park a couple of times after we retired. I had opportunity to be free and go where I wanted to go. Didn't have to go where I was paid to go. But anyway, I'm looking forward to his coming in and being with you. You're going to have to bear with me this morning. I was sick 3 weeks ago with all this head cold, whatever junk it is, and got better and thought, you know, it was is all behind. Well, Monday it hit again, and so thought we got pretty well taken care of with everything. And then yesterday morning I met with one of my young men, and I just kept apologizing to him because my throat was so horrible. And of course he kept, you know, he was nice about it. You know, those of you who are here that are parents of these guys, because I do have Chris among that group, I want to tell you, you raised them right. Because the young man kept saying, it's all right, Pastor Larry, it's all right, Pastor Larry. And so I appreciated that. But I have been drinking water like it's going out of style, and I'm afraid I'm going to run out of water before I do service this morning. But we'll try to do the best that we can. But I'm not one of those singers that gets up here, no offense. I know Tom doesn't do it, but have you ever been to those places where a singer gets up and says, oh, my voice is awful this morning. I just feel so bad. You just pray for me. I'll get through this. And then they blow the roof off the house. You know, I'm not one of those because, it just doesn't always happen. I do want your prayers, though. I do want your prayers. This morning, as Brother Tom mentioned, and by the way, where'd the M&M? There they are. I didn't get an oatmeal cake last week, and M&M's my favorite candy, and it was my favorite candy long before I knew that it was made in Cleveland, Tennessee. But I love M&M's, any kind, every kind, all kinds. I'm waiting for them to be more creative and come out with other kinds. But anyway, children, you enjoy those while Pastor Larry stands up here and talks more about follow the leader, Jesus says. Follow the leader, Jesus says. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. As you're turning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I want to just give you a little background on how God led me to this scripture. As I mentioned, I think last week, beginning interim ministry work or supply work after retirement, I wanted to kind of have the attitude, if it were possible, of John the Baptist. I wanted to be a forerunner. I wanted to be someone that went out before someone else and did what I could to help their coming, to help their task. Be somewhat better prepared or easier or whatever. And I've told everyone where I've been, I said, I've just come to help you in the way. I don't want to get in the way. That's kind of been what I've gone by, is to help you in the way and not get in that way of helping you. And God has blessed that. And 2 weeks from today, I'm going to be over at Stuart Park. God has a sense of humor.
feel like a bookend. You know, Daniel's here and I'm like this, you know. But you know the history of that church, and it's really, really struggling. And Brother Phil's going to kind of step in and stay with it until we see what direction. But I'm Brother Phil's associate. I don't know if you knew that, but he and I tag team. We tag team down at Ridgeview, and pray for me, because I've been praying about the word that God would have. I want to have a word for a church. I don't want just another message. I want a word for the church. And so you pray for us as we'll be going there in 2 weeks from today. Have you found 1 Thessalonians chapter 2? If so, stand with us for the reading of God's word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul speaking said, "For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others. Though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who called you into his own kingdom and glory." It's reading through verse 12. Again, follow the leader, Jesus says. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Lord, may you bless your word as we have honored your word through its reading this morning. And Father, in this scripture passage, you have led your servant to prepare, to pull out, hopefully, prayerfully, words for a people. And Father, I pray they would not just be words of another message, but they would be the message for the hearts this morning, Father, as we stand here. Speak to us, O God, and as we said earlier, the servant only comes with a challenge. It is the task of the Spirit to bring that conviction for repentance, for change, for turning, for whatever needs to be in the life of those who hear. May it be so this morning, Father, we pray in Christ Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. You may be seated. It was a classic episode of the hidden camera practical joke TV show, Candid Camera. You remember that if you have a few years on you. A person in that particular episode, a person gets on the elevator, and when they do, what do you normally do? You get on an elevator and you turn and face the door to be ready to leave. But in this episode, Those who got on the elevator remained standing facing the back of the elevator. And everyone who got on after that did the same thing. A scientist put a herd of sheep in a line. He placed a stick in front of them 2 feet from the ground. The first sheep came and jumped over the stick. The second and the third did the same. The scientist removed the stick, and to the scientist's surprise, when the fourth sheep came, it jumped over the imaginary stick, as each sheep thereafter did the same thing. Those two illustrations have something in common. The sheep and the people on the elevator had something in common, and it's called followership. Followership. Sheep followed other sheep. People did what other people did. There are some common characteristics, by the way, in both sheep and people. There are scripture references of the followers of Jesus referred to as sheep. And John chapter 10 particularly has a great analogy there with Jesus as he speaks of his followers as sheep. And in that chapter, he refers to himself as the good shepherd. Now, Pastor Daniel is going to be soon coming as your shepherd leader, and you are going to become his follower. You can't say ship and sheep like that. Now, you can sitting out there looking up at me, but when I try to say it, followership of sheep, that's what you are going to be as he's the shepherd leader. Now, today's sermon, as we have entitled it, Follow the Leader, Jesus Says, there's a quote on leadership that I believe that defines the aptitude of Brother Daniel as I know him. And here's that quote. Leaders must be tough enough to fight, tender enough to cry, human enough to make mistakes, humble enough to admit them, strong enough to absorb the pain, and resilient enough to bounce back and keep on moving. That is a definitive of leadership, whether it's leadership in the pulpit or whether it's leadership in the pew. We all need to be defined by that characteristic. Last week, 5 very needed but very noble characteristics of what make great leaders and what make great followers. Now, we looked at the first 2 of those characteristics, and it took a little longer to do that because of the introduction that we shared. Someone said that my introductions are more a message than the message itself is. Well, you call it however you see it, as long as the work gets done that God wants to happen in your life. But we're going to look at those last 3 characteristics. The first 2 that we looked at last week are great leaders are people of courage. One of the young men I meet with, last night we talked about courage. That was something that in this past week of his own quiet time and Bible study, that he said, Pastor Larry, he said, I believe God really wants us to rise up and be courageous, be men, be women, be a people of courage. And I second that. I amen that. But not only great leaders, people of courage, but leaders, great leaders are people purpose-driven. Purpose-driven. People that are goal-oriented. People that have a plan and they work the plan. Those are very much needed in the leadership of great leaders. Courage and purpose-driven. Now, as we start this morning to look at this third characteristics, that great leaders are people of integrity. Integrity. In Paul's words in this passage of scripture that we read, we're going to look at that. We're going to kind of break it down and look at some of the specifics that he uses. Great comparison, great analogy that Paul does. But integrity is a short definition that I think gets right to the root of what it is. And it is the uncompromising and steadfast adherence to a strict moral or ethical code. That's what integrity is. When I began my ministry, I had not got far into it until I was given the advice that, Larry, one of the things that you want to keep first and foremost before you is to be a man of integrity. And I never forgot that. And every church that I have served, whether I was senior pastor or staff or otherwise, that always was my guiding principle, to be a person of integrity. Of all the facets of character, integrity might be the most critical. Listen to this, church. This virtue is found throughout the Scripture. It's found in the men and women of God who demonstrated this steadfast and courageous integrity. There was the Joshua and the Joseph and the Daniel. We have the Esther and the Ruth and the Mary and the Joseph, father of Jesus, and Paul himself, people of integrity. But here's what's sad. Even though it might be the most critical virtue, sadly, it's a fading virtue among individuals in today's world. There is a void among many leaders today, and unfortunately, it's among our nation's leaders. But in all honesty, it's not just out there in the world that it's fading and it's not focused upon, but sadly, it's also penetrated the church. I mean, you stop and think about it. What a sad commentary that the leadership in our churches, in our denomination, in our world, that integrity is not something to be grasped and to be held on to. But church, I'm saying to you, it is important to have that integrity, because it is the one attribute that builds that valuable trust between a pastor and his people. And Paul brings that out as he shares with the church at Thessalonica. Ephesians 4:25 commands integrity. Listen to this. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Lack of integrity causes people to lie and cheat and steal and do everything else to say one thing and mean another, to break commitments, the lack of integrity, to break commitments to spouses, to children, to friends, and yes, even to God's church, but sadly, even to God himself. Do you hear me, church? Integrity is needed. In verses 3 through 5, now that we look closely at, Paul is saying to that church, and I review them for you in a summary of no impure motives. Paul says, I have not used flattery. I have not been deceitful. He says, in my relationship or ministry with you, you will not go there and find it. And I stand in this pulpit after 50 years of ministry, and I can be able in that to direct you back to any place, anywhere that I have been. And there will be no one that you will find that says that Pastor Larry was deceitful. He used flattery. He did this, he did that. Because you see, when you seek to be the man or the woman of God with all of your heart, then you will not have room for that this morning, church. Paul was saying, I am who I am. What you see is what you get. Paul let people see that. Paul was transparent. And he not only let them see who he was, but he also shared with him what his convictions, what his belief. He was a leader with integrity. He walked the walk. He talked the talk. Paul Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. He could say that because that's who he was. I can't say that I'm a football player and I've got the awards and I've got the recognition because I'm not that. But I can tell you that I'm a man of God and I'm a sharer of the word of Jesus Christ. I can say that because I follow the example of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul had the courage, he had the integrity to openly state his belief. And he also, very importantly, if you put yourself out there, then you're going to have the guts to be able to shoulder the consequences of others' actions. Without integrity, you never really know if you can believe what a person is saying or what they say they'll do. Both Jesus says it in Matthew first and part of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:37, and then James later comes in writing his book, and in chapter 5, verse 12, they both say this in summary. Let your yes be yes and your nay be nay. You know, you stop and think about that, church. That's a message in itself. Great leaders are men and women of integrity. I remember advice that my parents gave me. They said, keep your word. Be a person of your word. I am investing in our younger generation. But I want to tell you something. We need to be teaching them to be men and women of their word. You don't know how many times, and I'll share this. Now, Chris is out of the clear, so don't be thinking, well, just Chris, you know, he's clean on this. He's got good parents. But when I first got into this, and I would set a time for these young men to meet, I'd let them, most of the time I let them, because, you know, their schedule is so much busier than mine, you know. They get up so much earlier than I do, you know, but let them set the time. And so, you know, it was never before the sun rose, that's for sure. And hardly ever, I mean, some of them don't even know that there's a sunrise until about noon. But anyway, I'd, you know, they would. Well, they would set the time. Well, I'd be there wherever we were going to meet. 5 minutes later, 15 minutes later, okay, let's text, let's see what's going on. 9 times out of 10, oh my gosh, I'm leaving right now. But one of my wife's favorites is this, is to tell me that they're pulling in the parking lot. Bam. 15 minutes later, it's not that huge of a parking lot. What I'm saying is, be a person of your, and I guess a good group of these young men have learned to be a person of the word when it comes to being on time. I'm a stickler for that among a person of integrity. But let's move on. Great leaders are not only leaders of integrity, but they are people who care. Now, here's where it gets interesting with Paul as he gets into the gist of this, that he uses the words mother and father as he engages in his lesson to the church of defining true leadership. Yet these very roles reveal characteristics that teach us about leadership. In verses 7 through 12, Paul uses the words caring, loving, sharing, and working. And for the word father, he uses the words encouraging, comforting, and urging. Strong words. And I know as a leader, as you know, in your leadership, we identify with every one of those words. We can see every one of those words being in our leadership. And Paul says in verse 7, where he says, like a mother nursing. The word for nursing is that word of caring. Great leaders, they nurture and they care for the ones that they're leading. When a mother is nursing her child, it's important that she eats a proper diet. It's important that she feeds herself very carefully and very healthy for that baby to get the proper nutrition. And therefore, it's important for leaders to do that same thing, to feed upon God's word, to take God's word in. Because you see, if the leader in the pulpit is not feeding himself, if he's not spending time in the word, studying the word, preparing the word, and he comes into this place, he's going to have an unhealthy church. Because he's not been feeding healthy himself, and therefore you can't give what you don't have. Makes sense? Look at me like you know what I'm talking about. You know? Caring, nursing. And Paul goes on and he uses those words of loving and sharing and working in verses 8 and 9. And Paul says, listen to this. I love this section of the scripture. I love what Paul says here because to me it's the very spirit of leadership. He says, we loved you so much. Every church that I had the opportunity to serve, I fell in love with those people. And it was hard to leave them. And Paul had that attitude. He had that spirit. He said, we loved you so much that we were delighted to share. I've never considered my call to ministry a burden. I've never got up of a morning and felt like that it was a burden. I get up now, and if I'm not going somewhere to preach or to speak and be involved in some way, Brother Tom, I miss that. That's why we, as men like this, we find other areas to where that we can share because we are delighted and we love people so much. And Paul goes on to say, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel, but here, but our lives as well. We didn't just do a job. We just didn't do that which you provided funding for us to be able to do this. But we went the step beyond to share our lives with you because you became dear to us. And he adds the footnote, we worked night and day. That's how committed we were. That's how much we were into this involving ourselves. He told those believers that leadership, their leadership, cared so much that they shared love and life with them. And like mothers with their children, the church leadership needs to be willing to expend great energy, time, and work, pouring their heart and their soul and themselves into that work. Good leaders do the same for those that God has called them to lead, and a great pastor, shepherd, leader will do the same for his sheep. People who care. I heard it again this morning before I came on Face the Nation. People don't care how much we know till they know how much we care. Wow. It's Paul saying, people who care. Paul said, not only I as your senior leader, but he said, those that are here with me serving in this church, we are dealing with you as a mother deals with her child, as a father deals with his children. And as I looked at this, a mother cares for her children. And a father cares. There is that spiritual instruction. There is that spiritual education. But the father role here. Look at the father role. Paul says that the father acts with authority. There is an affection. You know, but there is that father who is exhorting his children, instructing them, encouraging them, both involved in the upbringing of that child, but with different roles, emphasis on different roles. My wife is a great wife. She is an awesome, awesome mother. And I made her role very difficult. We have two sons. One's 44. One's going to be 40 this August. And I made her role as mother very difficult. I never did grow up. You know, I just grew out of my hair. I just didn't grow up. And any time that the boys would get in trouble, they would have to be disciplined. You know, it always starts with mothers, usually, because, you know, fathers most of the time are not there. But the times that I was there and she was really in the face of the boys. Now, don't take this wrong. It wasn't a life and death. But it's just like when mother was getting a little bit too pressing. And so she's standing like this, and the son is standing here facing her, and, you know, she's, you know, I'm standing behind her facing my son, and I'm making all kinds of gestures, and I'm smiling, and the boys are trying to keep a straight face because they know that mother's wrath can be worse than what it is, you know. I'm not making out her to be a bad person. She's a great mother. But the boys to this day, they said, "Mom, you don't know how hard it was for when you were correcting us about something. Dad was standing behind you, and he was making faces and everything, you know." Well, then she would turn from that boy to this boy. And you better believe it, I got it a lot worse than they got it. And the joke is in our house that the boys grew up and got married and left home, and this boy grew up and couldn't leave home. But anyway, fathers care, mothers care. And Paul says, great leaders are people who care. Let's move on. Great leaders are right with God. Now listen to this, church. This will be short, but it's very pointed and it's very powerful. In verse 10, Paul calls them to attention and he says, "You are witnesses." Now watch this. "You are witnesses," Paul says, "of how," he's speaking to the church, "look at your leadership. You're witnesses of how we behaved, how we walked, how we talked, that of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed." Holy, righteous, and blameless. You saw it. Now, we hear these words, this word holy, and we avoid it because, oh my goodness, that's a big word. That's a heavy word. To be holy? I could never be holy. If you're going to be like Jesus, you got to work for it because God says, "Be holy as I am holy." So you can't cop out. You can't use the excuse, "Well, I can never be holy." If you're going to be like Jesus, you can be holy. But here, we hear these words, and righteous? Oh my goodness. Righteous. That sounds like you got to really be right. Well, you do. You do. And then there's this blameless. But let me just simplify this for you. It's very simple. Holy is a reference to one's relationship with God. It's that simple. Your relationship with God. Righteous. Leaders need to be right with God. But leaders also need to be right in their relationship with others. So you have holy with God, you have righteous with your fellow man, and then blameless, your reputation out in public. You're blameless. Now, was that hard? Was that hard? Now, I don't want to make it so simple, you know, that you miss the truth of it. That's powerful, those three words. To try to be holy before God, to be righteous before your fellow man, and to be blameless in the world. But a leader needs to be honest, trustworthy, sincere, kind. Not within the body, the building, but out there in this community. And I'll tell you what, if I've observed one thing about Daniel Malone, he loves the community in which he serves. In closing, I read of an ancient custom that took place in Israel. Now, I've never seen it in pictures, but you can come up with some interesting things if you study. And there was an ancient custom, and this custom was this: that before a new king was placed on the throne of Israel, a ceremony took place. And in that ceremony, the word of God was held over the head of that servant. And the symbolism of the word of God over the head of that servant of God was that God is leader, first and foremost. God is your new pastor. Has that recognition that God is leader. But the man that God's called to lead, I pray that you will follow the leader. If there's anything in your life right now that you need to deal with to be a better follower, deal with it before this new man comes and commit yourself to being the best follower. And all the pastors before Brother Daniel, and there were some good ones. I knew some of them. And you followed them. But I wasn't in the pulpit then to prepare the way. But I'm saying to you, church, look at your followership. Be the best follower that you've ever been. And I close it with these two words. You hear me? Jesus says. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you first and foremost for enabling your servant to speak with such clarity and strength today, Father. Oh God, to you be the glory. And then, Father, in this time of challenge, this time that the altars are made very visible and focused upon to come, deal with that which needs to be dealt with. And if not at the altar in the church, certainly in the altar of our heart. God, I call this people to followership of their new pastor, and that they will be the best followers, because I know within the heart of this young man, his goal is to be the best pastor. And both pastor and people want to do what Jesus says. And amen. Brother Tom.
Let's stand together as we sing. Lead me, Lord, I will follow. Lead me, Lord, I will go. You have called me, I will answer. Lead me, Lord, I will go. Lead me, Lord.
church again for allowing me the privilege, Kuma and I, to come and to be with you. And our prayers will be with you, and I will await great things that will be coming from this place.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
And we thank you again for the opportunity to share with you. Brother.
You may be seated. Brother Don's got an announcement.
Next Sunday morning will be Daniel's first service. In lieu of that, we're going to be having a welcoming meal and at the same time, a baby shower. They're expecting a young girl. So we're going to have that all at the same time. And we're going to try to have it down here in the fellowship hall so we don't disturb the Guatemalan church. Also, one other thing. That is, next Saturday morning, we're going to be moving them. So we'll meet here. I'd like to have a meeting with those, of course, that think they can make it next Saturday morning right up here in the front for just a minute. We'll meet here at 8:30 next Saturday morning. And they've already moved a lot of the stuff they've boxed up into their new house. And their house is in Mill Creek Development. So next Saturday morning, we'll meet here at 8:30, and we're going to go move their big stuff, which will be bedroom suits, refrigerator, freezer, washer, dryer, living room suit, all that kind of stuff. So if you can attend and help move next Saturday morning, please meet me up front right here. Thank you.
And I think David has an announcement as well.